The views and opinions expressed by any hosts or guests of WJMS Radio do not reflect the beliefs of its owners or associates. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to WJMS Radio or the show hosts whose words, advice, and or opinions appear from or on our website or on air.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to WJMS Radio. This is Christina, and I am here with Marksman. Thank you so much for, you know, taking the time today and meeting with me. I'm excited for this interview.
This is a big deal. I like this. I appreciate this. So, yeah, thank you for reaching out. This is what hip-hop's about, so we appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, kind of just to get started, where are you currently right now? Where are you from? I know you're East Coast, but give me a little background of, you know, where you're from, your life, all that.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Queens, New York. I currently reside in Brooklyn, New York. I adopted Brooklyn, but I'm from Queens. Definitely a representation of 80s, 90s Queens. I'm in New York. So yeah, I definitely hold that firm.
So then do you think your background has affected your music style?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Especially when you get older and you realize how important it is, important where you are, how it shapes you. I know being raised in the 80s, listening to hip hop, watching, you know, Video Music Box with DJ Ralph McDaniels as hip hop was maturing itself, definitely had a lot to do with my devotion to the craft.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, growing up in New York is kind of the perfect place to get into hip hop because it kind of, was it not, did it not start there?
Most definitely did.
Yeah, okay. So you've got all the greats out there to look up to your whole life, you know?
Definitely, definitely. Tribe Called Quest. You know, LL Cool J, they all grew up around my way. So it's a lot of pressure, but it's definitely a lot of influence. That was just natural.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And then would you say that New York style hip hop and like compared to other parts of the East Coast, are they similar? I know there's like, there's a big rap scene in like Philadelphia and stuff like that. So would you say that the East Coast is relatively similar in that sense?
I mean, there are definitely similarities. You know, the coasts tend to differ. The generalities tend to be West Coasts was birthed by, you know, George Clinton style of musicality, whereas James Brown was the father of East Coast style. So there are things that change from coast to coast. There are things that change from community to community, from Brooklyn to Harlem, you know. So there are elements of hip hop that will change. The jargon changes, the slang changes. Mm-hmm. You know, and so therefore a lot of those elements change. I mean, the beautiful thing about hip hop is that you don't want to put it in a box. You know, you don't want to compartmentalize too much because you want to give the artist freedom to grow. But it is always a pleasure to see different communities represent themselves through music.
Right. That's something that I really love about music geographically, because I think it's really something cool and special that, you know, where you're from is so different from somewhere else. And like, you can sit there and rep how your city shows music. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you're from Chicago. So Chicago is a very proud city. You know,
absolutely.
Sports and music, like, you know, Chicagoans want you to know they're from Chicago. So that's always that sense of pride is always, you know, representative. And hip hop started in a park setting where you're literally repping your hood. So that is always a fundamental part. And that's the fun of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Chicagoans never stop talking about Chicago. And that's a fact.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Best pizza, all that. Y'all want everybody to know.
Oh, our pizza, is that what you just said?
I said the best pizza. Y'all want everybody to know. You got it.
Absolutely. No offense. I know New York City's got fire pizza too, but
we do. I'm not gonna start the argument here. I don't know how much time you got.
I know, that could be a whole day's worth of arguments. Anyway, so we don't start beefing right now.
Right.
So what kind of vibe do you want to give out from your music?
I want to give a vibe of conversation. Mm-hmm. A vibe of, I guess, in this day and time where lyrics have been downplayed and almost kind of seen as an ancient style.
Right.
I want to be able to just elevate that craft and just make sure that it's maintained, that the, you know, the hip hop purism is maintained and kind of upheld. So that vibe of the first time I fell in love with hip hop, you know, that vibe of let's keep skill upheld, and that vibe of let's start a conversation and think forward. Those are the vibes I like to uphold in my music.
Yeah, that's definitely important, because I said this before in a couple of my interviews, and you know, I love the music that's being produced right now and all that, but sometimes I do find myself listening to the lyrics a little too hard, and I'm like, okay, like, maybe we should start sending more positive. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes it can just be a lot, so I think that's definitely super important, just to kind of stray away from that sometimes and be really open and honest and have, like you said, starting conversations.
Yeah. I mean, this is I have to bring it back to the day and time we're in. We're in a day and time where these conversations are rocking entire cultures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where we're able to kind of incorporate these mature, progressive thought process that kind of, you know, maybe there's some antiquated ideas that we've been fundamentally rocking with, you know, or maybe not. There are things that we always need to kind of keep in our minds as young people. So music was always that platform that propelled these thoughts and propelled these ideas. It's important for artists to not remain quiet, but to maintain that culture of conversation. That's where lyricism to me comes in, where you're able to be versatile with your words to get more done and spark up that conversation. So lyricists to me always right. have that responsibility.
Awesome. And then would that be kind of like your common theme in your music, or what do you find yourself writing about or speaking about often in your music?
I find myself just trying to draw attention to how much better we can be, I guess. And my style, like, I'm, you know, I started poetry, you know, lyricism, right? So I'm trying to knock you over the head with each bar, right? Mm-hmm. So my intent is to show you that we can do this in a different way. You know, we can do this in a way that's not necessarily a straight line, but it still gets to the destination. So that, you know, I kind of want to do that and propel, scale, and show that hip hop is such a versatile craft that can be used to heal, that can be used to provoke thought. And I want to be able to do that with my lyrics. So with that thought in mind, I mean, you want to be able to just OD with that kind of element to really raise, oh yeah, that's what hip-hop can be, and mm-hmm. that's my goal, and that's really important to me.
So speaking of poetry, I think I saw you did spoken word, correct?
Yes, ma'am. That's how I started, really.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm super intrigued by that, because my high school...
Chicago.
Yep, we are huge, huge, huge spoken word, like, city. Like, my high school went to nationals. I think we either won or got second place or top three like several years in a row, and mm-hmm. I kind of grew up with spoken words, so I would love to hear more about how you got into that and how that really shaped you.
Yeah, I mean, that I would always say that I was born on the New Yorican stage. The first time I walked into the New Yorican Poets Cafe in the Lower East Side, that changed my life forever. I was in college at the time. I was following a homegirl. She always had some beautiful friends, so she said she's going to New Yorican, so I was like, I'm going to New Yorican. And it was pretty much, you know, 50% going to the event, 50% trying to meet these girls. And I remember it was so packed. It was a Friday night slam that still goes on. And this, I'm talking like 01. Uh-huh. You know, it's a long time ago. And I remember I couldn't get a seat because there was so many people. So I was separated from everybody. I was by myself.
No.
I had to kind of enjoy the show alone. But it forced me to pay attention to the stage. I was blown away. You know, slam poetry. I had never seen it in that form before. I'd written poetry before. I was published in high school. So I knew I had that talent, but I'd never seen it like this. So this really, really, really got me into the game. I was on stage in a matter of weeks. I was on that stage in a matter of weeks.
Oh, wow.
That really, really started kind of pushing me towards dedicating my life towards this creativity and this outlet. Because I knew that I had a voice, I knew I had excellent wordplay, and I was able to kind of connect with crowds. So with those elements, I kind of wanted to really see where I could take it.
Absolutely. And then you said you were kind of into poetry and stuff before, like in high school. Was it a huge hobby for you, or were you just like...
I mean, not even. Like, I was just a creative writer. You know, I was always just a creative person, soul, you could say. So I was writing... like, my mom is a preacher. You know, I come from church, so I was always singing or performing or doing some kind of, you know, action in church or school. So I always kind of had that. And for a school assignment, I submitted poem, and then I used that poem to submit to this Christian poetry contest, and I won second place, and I was published, and it kind of sparked other thoughts, you know, and other things. Like, okay, I guess I'm pretty good at this, you know. I was kind of mad that I didn't win because I didn't really try.
Yeah.
Kind of mad at that. I was like, well, if I tried, like, you know, but it was something that sparked a few things. So that's really where the writing bug came from. And the New Reading kind of just put it together with the element of performance that kind of, that was like, that's me. That intersection was felt real, right.
So you weren't nervous to perform your first time?
My first time performing, I performed at Hunter College. I mean, that was a lot more relaxed setting because a lot of my homies were there.
Yeah.
So, you know, my first time was at the New Eureka, and I probably would have been a lot more nervous. But once again, growing up in church, and I had an advantage of having access to a stage, you know?
Right.
It was my first time on stage in front of people, you know? So I'm blessed to have grown up between church and school that I wasn't afraid of people in general.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And how long did it take you, you know, to transition from spoken word and performing that and then transitioning it into music?
Hip-hop?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's always an interesting story. I mean, when I started doing poetry, I started with some homeboys that are still my brothers. We called ourselves the Cataclysm. It was a little group. So we all went to school together. We all kind of went to the New Eureka. They were with me that night at the New Eureka, by the way. Or some of them were. And we kind of came together and started performing together, and we cultivated something where, you know, I did poetry with a little hip hop, somebody else just did hip hop, somebody else produced, somebody else did this. So we kind of fused together. And so I was always hanging with rappers. I was always kind of freestyling at college with the boys. So it was always in me. I always wanted to do it. Spoken word was just something that was more pronounced and more emphatic. So it took a few years of kind of being frustrated with the spoken word scene, to be honest, and kind of just seeing, you know, I was kind of like, all right, well, I did a few things. I didn't get what I wanted to do. I didn't get, Deaf Poetry Jam was big then. I didn't get that gig. I had done a similar show for BT called Lyric Cafe. That show didn't go anywhere. So I was pretty frustrated. Yeah. And those frustrations kind of led me to jump into the nightlife and kind of put that component together. And once I was in that mindset of being a little separate from the spoken word world and more into nightlife and entertainment, that hip hop, my first mixtape, I dropped that in 2010. So it took me a long time, a good 10 years, 9-10 years to get fully acclimated into my hip hop mindset.
Mm-hmm. And then your first mixtape was in 2010.
Yeah.
How many have you produced and released since then?
I've produced about 4. So what happened in 2010, I released my first mixtape, which was a J Dilla tribute that pretty much I took a bunch of J Dilla tracks and used that to create this cool mixtape. And then I created a studio album the next year. So that's original music. That was the album. And then mixtape in 2014, Days of Future Past, kind of patterning after the movie, the X-Men movie, Days of Future Past, that was released that summer. And then I collaborated with a live band to do a live studio album called The Rehearsal. And then this past mixtape, No Disrespect, just released on Black Friday.
Oh, cool. Very exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
How would you say that you've changed from your first mixtape in 2010 and then to where we are now? How have you developed as an artist?
Wow. Yeah, it's funny. And I'm looking at the logo right now, getting all emotional. I've developed a lot in that it's taken me a long time for my tongue to catch up to my pen. I'm someone who writes I write like a poet. And it has taken me a long time to to convey what I want to say in a way that you can hear easily. That's complicated, but it's still relatively easy to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And so one reason why I'm very proud of this current project is it comes after me taking a break. I took a good year and a half, almost 2 years off of performing, just because I needed some time in my thoughts And so I think I was able to convey my points very clearly in this project, which is something that I can't say that I've been able to really execute on a supreme level, you know, prior. So I'm just a much better artist, a much wiser, much sharper, and I'm able to write and deliver a lot more poignant content at this point. So yeah, that all adds into the content.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, even though, you know, people change and whatever, like just getting older, going through life more, like,
yeah,
you're maturing, and then you're also maturing within your music too. So
it's an interesting journey, you know, to see yourself. You never know what you're going to write, you know, and you always fear, I've always feared that I'm going to go to write and I've run out of talent. I've just run out and I have zero left. I've always had that fear. But as you grow older, you kind of realize that that's not how it works, you know, so.
You probably have more to write about.
Always.
So what's your ideal environment to write music in?
That's interesting. When I started writing, my ideal place was the subway train.
Subway.
I would just have a composition. This is before cell phones were really in. So I had a composition book and my headphones and, you know, CD player, whatever I had, and iPods eventually. And that was just it. It was very soothing and calming. And I would get a lot of my writing done on the subway. Of course, you get older. I mean, nowadays I have my Bluetooth headset and my cell phone, and I'm pretty much mobile. I can pretty much do it anywhere. Mm-hmm. So as long as I'm pretty much relaxed and comfortable, I can write pretty much anywhere.
The subway. I cannot even imagine trying to get any work done on the L train in Chicago. Like, I can't even imagine. That's kind of interesting, though. I guess you could also kind of maybe get ideas from the people that are around you, too.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know if it's that or, you know, I mean, in New York, you need the subway, you know.
Yeah.
We get bougie now with taking Ubers, but this is when, you know, if you're traveling, you're going to Manhattan every day from Queens, you're on the train an hour, hour and a half, you know, per ride.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just enough time that, you know, you just have that opportunity.
That's true. So that's true.
It just makes sense.
I've never even been in New York, but I did not know that Manhattan was that far from Queens. I don't know any of that, but it's a long ride. I would probably imagine you get a lot done at that point.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You gotta put that in there. Unless you're just wasting your time. But yeah, that was really, I don't know why I was inspired during that time, but that's just how it worked. I was able to kind of put my pen there and get that done on the train. So I always think about that, and that always stayed with me.
I like that a lot. And then do you find yourself more of a freestyler at times, or do you only write music ahead of time?
I'm not a freestyler.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't say I'm a freestyler. I've only done, the most of my freestyling has been, you know, when I led my band in the past and kind of just chilling with the homies. But I'm definitely a writer at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Where I do like to get in my zone and prepare what I'm trying to say, you know, edit it if I need to. But I am definitely more of a writer than a freestyler. Trying to get better, though.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get better at my freestyling.
Freestyling would be so hard. I don't think I could ever do it.
It is hard. It is hard. It's a muscle, though. Just like anything else. It's a muscle. So you kind of start at ground zero, but once you kind of learn the flow, it stays with you. So it's something, it's a fun discipline to develop, I must say.
Definitely fun.
Chicago, I mean, Common is one of the most popular freestylers would, at the drop of a dime at any concert or any place, would just kind of set that off. And that's such a dope element for him, you know, so.
Yeah. I agree. I always thought that was so cool that people could just out of nowhere just take a beat or not even take a beat and just go off, basically. I think cool.
That's one of the muscles I'm trying to develop a little more.
Yeah. So then do you feel like you find yourself collaborating more with people in New York, on the East Coast, or do you try and work with a variety of artists?
I would say over the years I've been more self-contained, I will say. But as far as networking, I've always been open to work with anyone, you know. I mean, the influence is always, you're definitely influenced when you're dealing with talent, you know. So I'm definitely down to do that, and I've always had friends from everywhere. When it comes down to my personal music, I haven't been one to do a lot of collaborations outside of my camp or my band, but I'm definitely open to it.
Definitely. And then this is just kind of random, but I was just thinking about this. I was going to ask you before. Mm-hmm. Where did you get the name Marksman from? I know your name is Mark, but
right.
How did that all come together?
That came together a couple ways. I had a screen name that was X-Man. It was like X-Man 2581, kind of. And I was getting into poetry I was starting to perform during this time. So I was kind of updating my screen. It's kind of silly. I was updating my screen name at the time, and I needed a new screen name. At the same time, I'm performing, and I'm emerging as this person who's been writing in secret and now wants to perform. So I needed a name for that. So I kind of put all these thoughts together and evolved X-Man by putting my name in front of it, Mark X-Man, and then kind of putting together that a marksman is a skilled, you know, someone who's skilled in precision, someone who's always on point. So I kind of put these thoughts all together. And then that X, the fact that it's right in the center of it, I'm just layering all these thoughts at once.
Yeah.
In, you know, 30 seconds. And I kind of confirmed that the marksman would be my new identity. And so I presented it to my boys, my homeboys, that group I told you about, kind of as we were forming our team. And I said, I'm going to be the marksman. And that's where it started. Early 2000s.
So you talked about your band, your team, whatnot. So you are not a solo artist. You have an entire group with you. Do they also go by Marksman, or are they separate, or what? How does that all work?
They're definitely individual artists that go by their own names and have their own identities. When we kind of collaborated in the early 2000s, you know, we were all young artists who were kind of getting a piece of the action to learn ourselves. Some of us had been doing it prior. I was newer to the scene. So we kind of had built that brotherhood and got older. And now everybody does their own thing. You know, we're not still a group. You know, we're still brothers, but everybody's doing their own thing. One of us is more into education. You know, a few of us, you know, are doing different things. So that's how we are now. We're just brothers who could always reminisce on the time that we were able to collaborate. I still work with some of them on music. You know, my engineer, Van, I still engineer with him now sometimes. So, yeah, we're just more of a brotherhood now.
That's nice, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's coming up in the horizon for you? Are you doing any shows, appearances? I know you just released your latest project not too long ago, but if you're working on anything new, I would love to get a nice shout out for that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I am working on some original music for 2020 and some visuals for this project. That's really the next on the agenda. Is to be able to, I'm working on some visuals so I can convey, just to pull and draw out some of the lyrics from the project and kind of give it a third dimension. Mm-hmm. I still have more lyric videos to drop. I've been dropping lyric videos for each song on the mixtape. So I still have a few more lyric videos coming. So, I generally have more content coming. I've been one to not put a lot of visual content out in the past, but I'm going to be changing that very soon. So just dipping my toes into some new platforms just so I can get a little bit more exposure and talk to the people a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Any shows or anything that people could be aware of in the upcoming?
I don't have anything on. I am working on a few things now. I'm in negotiations, but I don't have a date set, so I don't want to put anything out. All I can say is follow me at The Marksman. Check out my website, themarksman.com. You could always subscribe there or on my Facebook page. Once again, at The Marksman, TheMarksman. And you will definitely get that information sent to you, or, you know, it'll be posted. And this is all happening in January. Yeah, I don't have any dates yet, but very soon. Hopefully I can come to Chicago, Christina, talk to me.
Yes, please do. I would love that. We'd set up something out here.
No doubt.
Great. So kind of going back to where you're from.
Yeah.
Who had the most influence over your music taste when you were younger? I know there's a lot of people to choose from.
Yeah.
Being from where you're from. But if there's a couple that you would like to shed some light on, I would love to hear about.
Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah, of course, that's a very deep question. I mean, growing up, gospel music was the first music that I fell in love with. Just growing up in church. So like artists like Fred Hammond, Kirk Franklin, artists like those really shaped my love for melodies. Hezekiah Walker with choirs. I used to lead choirs myself and sing in choirs. So I've always known music and fell in love with music through gospel music. But then, of course, hip hop took my attention. Busta Rhymes was my first favorite artist. And then Biggie Smalls kind of really took the cake as far as like, this is the best I've heard. That's on the hip hop side. And then generally speaking, artists like Stevie, you know, artists like, you know, I've just fallen in love with artists like Musique Soulchild and, you know, Missy Elliott. I mean, I know I'm naming a lot of artists, but mm-hmm. those are a lot of artists that kind of kept me in love with wanting to do it. Andre 3000, artists that really kind of kept me in love with the art, with the craft, really inspired me and influenced me to do it myself.
Right. And it's really great that you got to grow up in that time where all that was up and coming, because it gave you a lot of things to look up to and inspired by. And there's just so much great music coming out of New York all the time.
Definitely.
I couldn't even name, like, how many artists out of New York that I'm, like, into, obsessed with. Like, MF Doom is, like, my favorite.
Yes.
Ever. No that
doubt.
Dude is incredible.
No doubt. MF Doom is one of those legends that are still walking around.
Yeah, right? Does he even perform anymore? I don't even know.
I mean, I know he does. Let me not say I know he does. from what I know, he does like festivals in like Croatia or like these annual hip hop festivals that are just, the platforms are just so vast, you know. That from what I know, I haven't seen his name on anything outside of a serious hip hop festival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's somebody who kind of just pushes those edges, you know? Hip hop just needs those edges pushed out so we can stretch it out and expand. And MF Doom just has inspired so many producers and rappers and hip hop fans.
Yeah, his beats are nuts.
Oh, definitely.
And I love like all the clips from, you know, various different audios that he throws in there. He's awesome.
Yeah, creative. Just ridiculously creative.
Ridiculously creative. Actually, he's just so low key.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the game, I could see somebody like that being reclusive, especially with your personality is different from everybody else's. You kind of want that appreciation, you know?
Yeah, actually, I was just about to say, I kind of take that back, because sometimes all that, you know, exposure and constantly being on social media and all that can be a lot. And then, like, your fan base, I feel like some people just appreciate that, not smaller, but more, like, loyal fan base. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And he definitely has that.
Oh, yeah. Definitely certain vibes. And that's another reason why I do what I do. Because there's certain vibes that do not thrive in this social media era. You know? Like, this is a very fast food environment. So there are certain positive vibes that will... You won't see them thrive in this era because that's not what people want.
Right.
You know, that's just by virtue of that's what it is. So I think that's another reason that inspires me, because I know I could, you know, I don't enjoy all those elements, but I could at least survive in it long enough to get to you, you know?
Right. Exactly. Social media has completely just changed the music game.
Oh, yeah.
So much too, which is wild. I mean, people are able to just upload music onto SoundCloud and just do whatever, and it's really cool, actually. It's different, because that means anybody can kind of do it, but it's also, I, in a way, really like that, because that's such a positive, like, outsource, you know what I mean? Like, people can focus on something that's positive, and I feel like making music is such a positive thing, and keeps people in check, and it gives them reasons to dream, and it gives them reasons to, you know, want to, you know, keep going sometimes. So I think that's actually a really incredible thing about social media now too.
Yeah, that's definitely a good element. I mean, there are positives and negatives, you know. I mean, there are we would definitely want to dwell on the positives. It's a great avenue for talent to be able to showcase itself. Mm-hmm. You would need budgets. You would need somebody to discover you. Even that concept is crazy for many people who don't have the access. So
right.
In that realm, that is excellent, you know? So as long as we keep that focus on the talent, you know, which is where I think we kind of dwindle, I think we'll be good.
Agreed. So what is something that makes you different from other artists out right now?
I have a interesting focus on, well, my style of music is based on the golden era of music, you say, right? So I would say that's where my major influences come. So in a new era, it's almost like going to a vintage store, you know, with modern decor, you know, something where it's something that's kind of rejuvenated and fresh, because lyrics never go out of style. You know, that's kind of something that's, I don't believe that it would ever go out of style. But I think we just kind of need to be hit with powerful examples of what lyricism can be. So, you know, I mean, I'm coming from the poetry world, that gives me an edge to express myself in a way that's not, I wouldn't say is too common nowadays. I would say, like, you know, the MCs are like the Jedis, where you just don't see them anymore. There's like a lost, they're like these lost skilled warriors. So I kind of see that as setting me aside from a lot of what's happening nowadays.
Definitely.
And another thing, just to add on, my music is definitely, I'm not as, I don't know, as far as content, what separates me a lot ways, I don't necessarily disrespect women in my music, you know? Mm-hmm. So that would separate me. It's something I don't really mention, but when I think about it, I would have to mention it, because nobody really, it's rarer, especially how we speak to each other as brothers, and the way we refer to each other. There are things that would separate me, because I'm just not as, you know, it's not in me, so I don't really put it in my music.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of circling back to what we were talking about before, just trying to spread the positivity in music now, just because we know, as we hear every day, the popular music is just, a lot of it's demeaning, and there's not necessarily nice things being said about other people, and I don't know, I think that's a really, really great thing that you kind of stray away from that, just because, I mean, just because it's popular doesn't mean it's good, you know? I don't know.
Very true. I mean, it's funny, because the radio will tell you, the radio stations will tell you that that's not what the people want, and the people will tell you that that's not what the radio plays.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that we've been having these arguments from forever. It's just, you know, time, I've seen how hip-hop has evolved, how music has evolved, and it's a very interesting situation how certain ideals deteriorate with both sides kind of pointing at each other.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is something that surprised you most about the music industry?
Surprised me. I would say when I first really realized how our attention spans kind of have changed, that was pretty surprising. It's harder to engage an audience when the way you access your music is very important to how you relate to that music. Mm. So, of course, growing up, we had radio. We had to wait for our song to come on. I remember I used to tape the music when the song came on. You had to hit record and play at the same time. So your relationship to that music changes over time. I can YouTube any song I want right now, YouTube free, and I can hear it right now, you know, for the most part, in many cases. So I think I've been intrigued as to how fast it really altered our music and how artists put out music. Artists used to put out one album. That album was just consecrated for a while. Now when an artist puts out an album, you know, that lasts a couple months and people are ready for the next one. So data is being consumed in such a higher rate. It is very interesting to see how that has affected the consumer. So that's been interesting to see.
Definitely. times have changed, that's for sure.
Indeed.
The people will get their music and their content has just drastically changed, obviously.
Definitely. Definitely. Very interesting.
I like it, though, that I'm able to just hop on Spotify and search up pretty much any artist. Like you said, like YouTube, anybody. It's really cool. And I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, like, there's a scene in Boardwalk Empire that I always refer to where they had a phonograph and they played a record and somebody sent somebody a record. And you can tell it was very emotional because having a record player in their home was such a big deal, you know, because of technology. And I wonder if you just said that you love the time we're in now, where you could just access it anytime. If you could feel that music 1,000 times more based on limited technology, which would you prefer?
Wow. That's a hard question.
Yeah, I mean, am I not something you could even, you know, answer up front? But I remember seeing that scene with that phonograph and that woman, just the look on her face when she heard that song. It's not a song she could have just accessed very easily. It's a song that took time to get to her. And then this amazing technology that she never even understood played it in her presence. You know what I mean?
Right.
That song. And that's something that technology, and that's something as humans we always have to deal with, is that duality of, yes, I have this, but understand what that balance does.
Yeah. I would say, you know, I definitely appreciate back when, you know, it was limited. So when you got to hear these songs and, you know, these records and whatnot, like, it was such a big deal and it probably was more appreciated back then. And like you said, more emotional. And so I definitely can see that being something that someone would be more attracted to.
Right.
But I also, just because music is such a huge part of my life and I listen to it more hours of the day than I'm probably, like, you know what I mean? Like,
You're like, give me my Spotify.
Yeah, it's always on. It's just always on. So I feel like I would still say I would love to keep how it is now, where there's so much access to music.
Oh, yeah.
Because I could still appreciate some of this work by people, even though I can just get it, go on SoundCloud, get it real quick, and just play it, whatever. Definitely. I think there's definitely people out there that appreciate the craftsmanship and the ability to be able to hear this music at any given time.
Right.
So I think I'm going to still stick with this era of technology just because I can't imagine not having that dispensable, or like being able to do that any time of the day.
Well, once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Right, now it's like I can't go back to, like, being able to only listen to a record, like, occasionally. I guess that's kind of a tough question, just because.
It's more of a, to me, that's more of a, I think that should lead you to appreciate music more. That's really what that concept's all about, you know? It's kind of, technology really alters how we approach life.
Right.
And I think we do it so fast and so, like, head first. We don't really think about the context. Yeah. And I still want to be able to enjoy my love like old school. You know what I mean? I want to be able to enjoy my music like old school. Even if it's with Spotify, if it's with Pandora or SoundCloud, I still want that love because it's just deeper. It's just how it is.
Absolutely. And there's definitely people out there that are, like, just like you, who want to appreciate that, like how you just said.
Yeah.
There's people out there who don't, and that's fine, because not everybody can
have
the same sense of appreciation for something, because not everybody's as passionate about it as other people.
Right.
But I agree with you on, you know, what you were saying about that.
No doubt.
So then, this is going to be kind of a fun question, but it's tough. If you could collaborate with any three artists, dead or alive, who would they be and why?
Three artists that are alive, wow.
They could be dead. Or dead or alive.
That makes even more difficult.
I know.
I mentioned Stevie before. Stevie's like always one of my favorite artists, Stevie Wonder. Mm-hmm. Just creating a track with him would be magical.
Oh, yeah.
That would be dope. Let's see, who else? Some of my favorite producers over the years have been, and honestly, this is something that I have to say can change. Like, you could ask me this next week, and I may give you different artists. But, like, growing up, like, I always wanted to work with songwriters. I always wanted to be in a studio with, like, a Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, or, like, a Babyface. Like, yeah. I always wanted that experience of being, of creating a song with a legendary producer like that.
Right.
Just that whole experience of sitting there in the studio, fine-tuning, editing, and, you know, that's something that's been a dream of mine since childhood.
So yeah.
That's second. And then third, just to have his verse on a track, I'd say either Busta Rhymes or Jay-Z, just to give me that million-dollar verse that I can kind of, you know, just because, I mean, those guys, I've listened to their verses more than maybe, you know, a lot of others. And they're two artists that I know I've looked up to lyrically and with a flow. So just to have some dope hip-hop out there, you know, that'll be dope.
Definitely. And then kind of just to wrap it up, who is on your playlist right now that you've been super into the past month or something like that?
Who have I been listening to? I've been listening to a lot of beats, I'd say. But a lot of R&B too. Little Ari Lennox. I've been listening to some, oh my gosh, I can't even think of artists now. Just more, I guess, more, I'm more on the SoundCloud tip where I listen to a lot of Soulection. I do a lot of Soulection vibes. So they have a lot of producers, you know, that I end up vibing to. But more on the playlist side, like Caillou. I know K-Tronada has a new project that just dropped.
Yep.
So I'm kind of into more of the vibes. So yeah, I've kind of been listening to more, a lot of the vibes. K-Tronada's joint is probably the last joint that I've attached to.
No, I went the good vibes only going into 2020, that's for sure.
Yeah, I can't really lock into like artists I've been vibing to, especially hip hop. I've been more on the R&B side, listening to like Her and...
I have been too, like Summer Walker's new album, that...
No doubt.
Literally was the only thing I played for like actually a month straight. Like I couldn't stop listening to it.
Right.
Ari Lennox, I love her.
Yeah, there's some sexy vibes have been dropping recently, so I guess I've been following that.
Definitely. Well, I feel you on that one. That's kind of been my vibe recently as well.
Nice.
All right, well, if there's anything else you kind of want to announce to people, I know we talked about your upcoming horizons with music and whatnot, but if you want to do a final shout out before we wrap things up, feel free to do that.
Yes, appreciate you for having me. XEQ is the company. XEQ Apparel dropping soon. I'll have some t-shirts and some hoodies and some other items available in this coming year. The website will be re-released. I'm going to be updating it over the next few months as well. So just really revamping and just making sure that we're better than we were before and we're able to reach a broader audience. Expect some show dates, expect some more content, got a photo shoot coming soon. Like, we're working hard, so I appreciate all the support. And if you appreciate indie hip hop, definitely support The Marksman, T-H-E-M-A-R-X-M-A-N. Follow me. Thanks.
Awesome. Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christine. I appreciate you. Come to New York.
I will. I would love to. I need to get out there. So maybe we can work on something and collaborate.
We'll talk to Jamie. Make it happen.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you.
All right. No doubt. Have a good one.
You too.
This next song tells a story. It continues a famous tale we all know. The song is also a conversation on mental health, told from the perspective of Robin Williams' genie. Imagine if that genie, all the stress of being a genie, all that power, imagine if that genie committed suicide. We all know Robin Williams unfortunately ended up with that fate. But just imagine it was the genie. This is the story of the genie. Enjoy. I believe this is a conversation we need to have.
None of y'all had it as bad as the genie. Read a headline the other night that the genie committed suicide. So underutilized, but the mind can't always keep the pace. Supreme cosmic power in an itty bitty living space. Imprisoned for millennia and millennia. Mental burden getting heavier and heavier. 3 wishes apiece, each pleading for more gold pieces to please their own needs. No one wishes for peace. Please. I'm sure Genie felt every reason, felt that our fate as a human race was sealed then. The story goes on to a series of events. He turned a street rat into a prince who granted him his freedom. Then flew around astral planes to discover love and happiness as actual things. Foolish lovers forget what happened to bring the essence of what drew them to each other. What they do is so irrational. So many lives that want to ruin others. Generations of enemies that should be brothers. This needs addressing like dry salads. Asking the right questions has been my challenge. If it's awkwardly, still do it. If I met the genie, I would wish that he would talk to me. Because I've been through it.
Talk to me.
Let's talk about it. There's a strong possibility for humans that somewhere on the planet that somebody's going through it in a different language. I need you to see this from a different vantage point. Get advice from who will not take advantage. When the threshold for pain is way above the average, it's safe to salvage anything you love that matters. Praying with both palms and nothing happens. Learning your fate is not the product of someone's actions. Darkness, a fatal attraction. Unbalanced can fall into madness. Learn yourself, find a purpose. Gain the clarity you couldn't imagine.
Gain the clarity you couldn't imagine. Clarity you couldn't imagine. Gain the clarity you couldn't imagine.
Gain the clarity you couldn't imagine.
If I could say the right words to make you think twice, I would try first.
Love yourself. Watch what happens. I read a headline the other night that the genie committed suicide. So underutilized.
I would try. If I could say the right words to make you think twice, I would try first. I would try.
You're listening to WJMS Radio. This is your boy, The Marksman, taking over. Now, the project is called No Disrespect Volume 1. Now, few lyricists can make you bounce. This next song is entitled Climate Change, and that's exactly what it's going to do. It's also going to make you think, because climate change is real. Enjoy.
What you say now?
Our effects on the planet.
What you say now?
They're now irreversible. Great job, guys.
What you say now?
We have nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
You know,
we got nothing.
I kind of feel the same way, you know? At this point, what exactly do I have to lose? X, yo, anyone can get these Game of Thrones lines. Max waters flow, reclaiming my time. I'm taking the town, what's there, I'm taking it down. Devout to infiltrate without making a sound. Ain't gotta go all subatomic to know I'm breaking it down. The mood to move your booty, boo, shake it around. Natural disaster, I've climbed this game like climate change. They only respect when they have to. Haters never could put a true face on them. And at this stage of the game, it's too late for them. Put out such assertive verses, Earth's best. Scientists suggest they can't reverse the effects. So it doesn't matter if what you got on is suitable. It's soon coming off because it is hotter than usual. So don't be surprised when the mercury rises and we all deep fry from the surface heat. I'm done. Nothing left to lose or prove.
That's true.
This year I'm coming through.
It's all a small world to me. You never know who you'll run into. Redefining the environment. Feel the highs and lows changing in the climate and try to deny that I shouldn't take it personal when I am the future. Irreversible.
We got nothing to lose now. We got nothing. Feel the climate change, changing you. We got nothing.
I mean, Al Gore tried to warn him, the timing of the truth too inconvenient for him. I speak at deep forums, each week chic decorum. Witness the biggest told you so moment you've ever saw from the toxic atmosphere we are supporting. I know I did, put it all out there. Now I'm more private, turmoil fire boils like the Charlotte riots. I evolve then involve more clients. Most choices in life can't right click to solve. The wrong mistake can make any tight click dissolve. If not now, miss, I risk it all. I'm proudly wear the scars of every crisis I fought. Such excitement with song, minus a pen or a mic. The only time my right wrist is wrong. But it's alright, cause it's nice outside. And at this point, you can sing along. Come on, come on. Nothing left to lose or prove.
That's true.
This year I'm coming through.
Come through.
It's all a small world to me.
Never know who you run into.
It's the end of the world.
This one is for my natural sisters. The song is called Natural Juices. The album is called No Disrespect, Volume 1. The artist is The Marksman, yours truly. You're listening to WJMS Radio. Let's get a little sexy. Yes, please.
Produce, yes. Homegrown, soaking in your own juice. Drop low, two knees bent. I want all the nutrients for my health. It's health. The best thing to do. Savoring the succulent flesh of the fruit. One request, all I ask of you. Allow what we do to be natural. Woo! Eat your vegetables, yeah. Clean going in, get your flesh involved. If looking inwards changes your outlook, what you put in your mouth can increase your output, right? Peeling off every layer of outfit. I'm solar powered if you needed an outlet. So many moments to savor, yo. And when I blend these flavors, the neighbors know.
Yo, 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 yo. You deserve the best. I'ma give it to you.
No additives, no preservatives.
I want you to do you, boo.
Live long, free to be.
Whoever you wanna be.
We already have all we need.
Natural juices.
So juicy. So juicy.
What your body produces.
What your body. What your body produces.
Much like my music. Music.
Juicy. Music.
You're a part of me.
You're a part of me.
Does a body good.
It's what the truth is. So
yes.
Juicy. So juicy.
We can do this.
We can do this.
The taste of you is
so juicy.
This is what I call so
perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
Cold press, bold, yes. Countless flavors, no less. Find me going in, where the X at? I'm exploring that, searching for the extract, not the excess. Put your youth to use while you can. I can boost like superfoods. Ah, the actual truth is, you more who you are in your
natural juices.
Right. You know what's
so
up. You know what's
so up. What your body produces.
What your body. What your body produces.
Much like my music.
Music. Music.
You're a part of me.
Does a body good.
It's what the truth is.
So yes.
Juicy. So juicy.
We can do this.
We can do this.
Hey, 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 hey. The taste of you is
so juicy.
What I call
so
juicy.
Perfect harmony.
You deserve the best.
Fresh, stay blessed.
No additives, no preservatives.
I want you to do you, boo.
Live long, free to be.
And be whoever you wanna be.
We already have all we need.
Tell them.
So juicy, so juicy.
Does the body good?
So juicy, so juicy.
Does the body good?
So juicy, so juicy.
Does the body good?
Breathe in and out. Let the O2 get your cells aroused.
Yeah.
The circle of life rotates the earth.
It makes sense, much comes from the ground. Natural juices feed the soul. Senses controlled, I can see the sounds. Knowledge of self is all I need to know. I wanted it before, but I need it now.
Yo, shout out to Jamie, shout out to Christina, shout out to the whole WJMS radio fam. Let's get it poppin'. I appreciate you showing love to indie hip hop. I am The Marksman. Check me out, www.themarksman.com. I am an indie artist out of New York City, born in Queens, residing in Brooklyn, here to give you some dynamic lyricism that you've been missing. One of the few MCs left. Check it out. No Disrespect, Volume 1 by The Marksman.
Thanks for listening. Tune in 24/7 at WJMSradio.com.